to be, right? And we shall flee to the valley of the mountains. Well, there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountains shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And there'll be an east-west valley. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Indeed, you shall flee as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. And Yahweh my God shall come, and all the saints with him. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be a unique day, which shall be known to Yahweh, neither day nor night. But it shall come to pass that during the night time it shall be light. Very strange situation indeed. And it shall come to pass in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea, the Mediterranean and the Gulf of Aqaba. In summer and in winter shall it continue. And then Yahweh shall be king over all the earth, and that day there shall be one Yahweh, and his name one. And all the land shall be changed, it'll all be flattened out. Shall be turned like the Arabah, that is, it'll become flat, like the wilderness of the Arabah, from Judah to the river south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in its place. And then it goes on and explains all of that, and the plague and a lot of other things. But the point that I wanted to make is that the deliverance is found in 14:1-7. Now, let me point out that this is the way Peter understood future events. This is his future timetable. He knew Zechariah probably a lot better than I do. And that's what he thought was going to happen. So he was, if you don't understand that, it won't make any sense to you when we go back to Acts, because the rest of his sermon doesn't talk about salvation at all. It talks about national conversion and the bringing in of the millennium, the times of refreshing. And of all the things, I think that's probably the biggest surprise I got out of the book of Acts studying it, was to realize that the rapture was so imminent to Peter, and he thought it was going to come so quickly that he thought he could inaugurate it with his second sermon. Now that's what I call imminency. Now it didn't work out that way, but he didn't know it wasn't going to work that way. He thought he had an opportunity right here. Second sermon. Turn the whole nation to God. Bring in the millennium. People have been trying to bring in the millennium ever since. Mostly with socialism. Back to Acts. Well, I thought we'd finish, but I guess we'll have to take one more shot at it next week. I repent therefore and be converted, so that your sins may, with the result that your sins will be blotted out. With the further result that the times of refreshing might come. So when he says hapos, on, the on introduces us to not real time, to potential reality, not real reality. And then the subjunctive means there's a question mark about the second part of this. The first part is certain. Your sins will be blotted out. The second part is not so certain. With the result that, with the further result that is the way we'll have to translate this, with the further possible result. You see, it's possible but not certain. With the further possible result, and I'm going to put a that in parentheses, that the times of refreshing, kairoi, anapsuxeos, the times of refreshing. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have any trouble reading the times of refreshing as a synonym for the millennium. It's going to be a very refreshing time for Israel. They won't have to worry about an enemy one for 1,000 years, except themselves, of course. And then we have the aorist subjunctive passive deponent of ekomai, elto, sin. The aorist subjunctive. Passive deponent. And we're going to translate this, might come. That's a possibility. It's not a certain. Salvation's certain if you change your mind about the Messiah. But the times of refreshing are not certain. They're just hoped for. So the times of refreshing might come. Now we have the amplitude of the source. This is where the times of refreshing come from. If you're going to get them at all, this is where they're going to come from. From the source, from the presence of the Lord. Apo prosopon. Prosopu to Kuryu. From the presence of the Lord. So the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ himself on earth is the source of the time of refreshing. The times of refreshing occur when Jesus Christ is present on planet earth in the flesh, in his human body. From the presence of the Lord. Now we probably ought to put another set of points in here with bracket one. This part up here is the possibility of national conversion and the beginning of the millennium. You see, it may not be necessary to go all the way to spreading the gospel throughout the whole earth. If he thought about it, he would have known that this won't happen this way. Because God's already told him, you should be witnesses unto me first in Jerusalem, and then and in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And they haven't been there yet. So, really, it's a naive hope, but I can understand Peter falling for it. I would, too, if I'd have been there. I'd probably fell for it, too. I'd have hoped that the nation could get converted. We wouldn't have to go through 2,000 more years of human history. Who'd want to live through the last 2,000 years? Who'd want to live through any pieces of it prior to the United States? Well, so the possibility then of the national conversion and the beginning of the millennium, so that the times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Lord. In verse 20, and you're going to have to add this was the second advent of Jesus Christ. All right, you'd like to see the second advent occur, but of course you're going to give us the correct calendar in spite of that. And also, so that not only might he send us the times of refreshing, but also so that apostille, this comes from apostello, and that too is a subjunctive, aorist, subjunctive active. So it too is governed by the on. And so that he might send. And then we have an interesting title for Jesus Christ. He is called the previously appointed one. And here it's a substantival use of a perfect participle. Used as a name for Christ. Pro, let's put it down here so I can get it all in one line. Pro ke ris menu. PROKECHERISMENOU. Or ON rather. The previously appointed one. Now, that can only be one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the previously appointed one, appointed since before the foundation of the earth. In case you missed out on who the previously appointed one was, he is then identified, Christ Jesus. Appositional use,
stuck in to further define up exegetically the previously appointed one, namely Christos Christon Jesum. So Jesus Christ is the previously appointed one. Man, who mean to us? Dative of advantage. It is to our advantage for him to send Christ Jesus to us. And secondly, so that he might send the previously appointed one, Christ Jesus, to us. However, we know something about Christ, and so he says, now there's a little hitch to this. There's a hitch here. And the hitch is that prophecy has told Peter that it's necessary for the heavens to keep him until the time of the restoration of all things. So we have the intercalated church age. He's going to give it accurately. He thought that if everybody would get converted, that it would inaugurate perhaps the rapture, and then Christ would come back and get them, and then they could wait for the tribulation to get over and bring the times of refreshing for all people. I think that's what he was looking for. The intercalated church age, whom it is necessary for heaven to receive, which of course is where Christ is now, Han Mem Dei Uranon, O-U-R-A-N-O-N Dexastai, D-E-X-A-S-T-H-A-I. Well, the pronoun Han, whom, indeed, it is necessary, logical necessity, based on the truth of prophecy, for the heaven to receive the dexastai is the aorist imperative passive of dekomai, to expect or receive. For how long is he going to have to stay in heaven? Until akri. Now notice chronon, he uses a different word for time. Remember a little earlier, what did he say? That the times of refreshing might come. There he used the word kairos. Here he uses the word chronos. A chronos is a lot longer period of time than a kairos is. And this, of course, looks at future ages. And the point being that times of the restoration of all things, until the time periods or the long time periods, and then this is chronon, and then the word apokatastasios. Apokatastasis, the time period associated with or of the restoration of all things, pronton. Isn't that interesting? Whom it is necessary for the heaven to receive and keep until the time of the restoration of all things. Now that begins with the rapture. It is followed by the tribulation, followed by the second advent, just prior to which the entire nation of Israel will be converted in a day, which is followed by the millennium, which is followed by the Gog and Magog rebellion, which in turn is followed by eternity future, the great white throne and eternity future. So he's talking about the entire end time sequence of events. And he's hoping that his sermon today will inaugurate those events and start the ball rolling. And so he says, look, not only can you get saved personally and know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life for yourself, but if you believe in Christ today, it's possible that if enough of you believe, that we can start the end times right here now in the city of Jerusalem. So there it was. And in case you're curious, we have a further statement that God has been talking about this event since the beginning of written prophecy, ever since the very beginning. So it says, this is point four, the prophecy prediction of these end times by all the prophets. Almost every prophet in the Old Testament talks about the end times. By all the Old Testament prophets. You see how logically he's doing this? This in turn is going to let him narrow down for his final punch, verses 22 through 25, 26. 26, and then it will allow him to move right into the individual prophet who fulfilled the prophecy of Moses, and he's going to identify that prophet as Jesus Christ. So he's going to get them every way they turn. He's going to turn them every which way but loose. The prophecy of these end times by all the Old Testament prophets. So again, we have the relative pronoun on, which times, the God spoke about, Elalesen, E-L-A-L-E-S-E-N, aorist indicative active. This is actually a constant of aorist, which takes in the entire period of the Old Testament, every Old Testament prophet. Indicative mood, it's really true, they all talked about it. The active voice, they all talked about it voluntarily in response to revelation from God. In which God spoke about, and then we have the agency by which he spoke, not by himself, but through the mouth of the holy prophets. Of his holy prophets, dia stomatas, mouth, ton, T-O-N, hagion, of his holy, H-A-G-I-O-N, his, altu, prophetom, through the mouth of his holy prophets. Notice this is a collective mouth, one mouth for all the prophets. Through the mouth of his holy prophets. And his holy prophets include all from Moses on. And how long have we been talking about it? Apo, Ionas, from the ages past. Once again, we have our third word for time. Now we have an eon. And the eon is even longer than a chronos. So a kairos, and here's a very beautiful use of three words in the Greek language that all mean different things. Kairos, times of refreshing, short times. Chronos, equivalent to a dispensation, medium time periods. Eon, long time periods. Sometimes as much as forever. In this case, it is forever, since eternity past. Well, I think we're ready then to hone in then on the specific prophet. Now notice, see, next week we come down, since all the prophets talked about it, about one specific prophet. Well, one specific prophet did too. Moses is his concluding example. And we will conclude along with Peter next week on Wednesday night when we bring Moses into the picture. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed. Now, Father, we are grateful tonight for the opportunity of studying your word together. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will teach us from what we have studied, make it alive and real to us, so that we too might look forward with anticipation and joy to the advent of the end times. Father, we could just as easily and just as fervently repeat Peter's desire for those end times to begin in our day. And yet if they don't, like they did in Peter's time, we must be ready to live another 2,000 years. And therefore, help us to live every moment as though we could go at any time, and yet with such forethought and vision that if we are left here another 2,000 years, we will live and honor you for that whole period of time. Teach us now, Father, tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.